Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. In today's special episode, we welcome in Ty Humphreys. Ty is one in an expanding, slowly but surely, the snowball is expanding and is gathering momentum. He's another one in our growing list of marriage transformation heroes. Ty is a knowledge scavenger, a life scientist, a self-proclaimed savage, a curious lover, an Enneagram 7, and an adventurer, a broken but powerful badass motherfucker. As a classic nice guy who chose acceptability over authenticity for over 30 years, he is rediscovering and reclaiming his identity every day through his experiments and adventures into the unknown and often horrifying terrain of his beautiful experience of life. Ty is a son, a brother, a husband to his precious queen, Rebecca, and father to his three badass kids. Ty Humphreys, brother, it's a fucking profound honor and privilege to have you on the show, man. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, the honor is mine. Thank you for inviting me.
Ty, first thing, the elephant in the room for me is, man, you know how to fucking max it to the last with your bio. I just know fucking Sav and Andrew that I invited on before you, you know, from the group, same group as yourself. I didn't give them, I said it outside of Calendly, they didn't get the opportunity for to write their own bio, but I know they're going to be fucking maxing. They're going to be giving me ferocious feedback going, Ty Humphreys, the son of a gun. Look at the bio he wrote. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. I took a minute and listening to it coming from your mouth. I'm like, man, I was feeling some piss and vinegar that day, but I tried to capture just kind of what's happening in my life right now. And so thanks for that opportunity to write my own bio.
It's totally beautiful. I'm gonna hire you to write my bio. I think my the figures I'm asking could like be multiplied by five if it just had a bio like that. Like, what man on the planet is? I'm actually going to be like reaching out for you to be coached by you with that bio. I'm like, fuck, I feel inadequate when I read that shit. But it's actually part of this entire movement. Is what I feel like for me, Be the Husband She Brags About, like at the core of it. And I want to touch base with you with your lived reality of this experience. But I just fucking love, like, joking to the side about the bio. What I love about that is, like, in this, I'll repeatedly speak to, like, the profoundly sick society we all grew up in. Like, where there's this fucking false modesty bullshit. I fucking love where you, on that day, you sat down and it's like you just allowed spirit flow through you and go, yeah, you are a badass motherfucker. You are, like, an adventurer. You are all of these things. And, like, that just lifts me up. What would you say to that experience of just being in an environment, you know, in Heroic Husbands, where false modesty, we actually ripped that shit out. Like, we ferociously challenged guys to go 10 out of fucking 10 and celebrate that shit. Was that something that was completely new for you, Ty? Or, yeah, what has been your experience within the environment of just that false modesty aside and just fucking celebrate your beauty and your power?
Yeah. My, as I alluded to in the bio as well, like growing up, in religion and in this profoundly sick society, as you call it, I've just recognized how shamed I was and how much I took that on myself, just, you know, constantly from all different angles, like, the deepest part of me that was communicated to me was that I was bad. And, you know, from my sexuality to, you know, my physical looks or my strength or, you know, these masculine characteristics or you're a pussy or you're not big enough or all these kind of things, you know, just constantly bombarded with that. And even from people who, you know, I really trusted, you know, leaders in spiritual community and stuff like that. So Yeah, this journey has one of the deepest principles of this journey that I'm finding, one of the patterns that's emerging is self-love, and just honoring myself. And that's something, Mark, that I'm so grateful. As I listened to your podcast, probably starting 5 or 6, 7 months ago, one of the things that you said on your podcast repeatedly was that, you know, we're living our 10 out of 10. And that really hit me from early on. And that was one of the things that really drew me to you, was recognizing like, oh, this guy isn't shaming me. He's saying that, you know, yeah, I didn't have all the tools. I don't have all the tools right now, man. I'm still just as fucked up as I ever was, but I'm doing my 10 out of 10. And that's been true every moment of my life. So yeah, in the men's circles, it's a beautiful thing where we, you know, we can look into each other's eyes and see those moments when that old bullshit is coming in and trying to steal the power and the beauty that is inherent in each one of us. And I get to look into my brother's eyes and say, man, that's bullshit. I'm not standing for that. And you guys have done that to me on numerous occasions. So it's a beautiful, beautiful experience. And honestly, I feel like it's way deep down in the deep level of this work that we're doing in this life.
It's like the elephant in the room for every single man listening in. I'd say every single man on the planet. I'd say every single woman on the planet. It's like humanity. Is this? There's a book I had where they call it the wound of unlove. Like when you're saying just coming and just being allowed to express love for yourself, to go, I'm deserving of love. What the fuck? You know, and like myself too, like that profoundly sick society and multiple different things. Like I know in Irish culture, Ty, there's this saying, I don't know if it expands in the States or that, but like self-praise is no praise. That was like a fucking mantra for me growing up. It's like, oh, you know, as a kid, it's like, oh, you know, I did this cool thing or I played really good at sport. Or it's like, oh, you know, self-praise is no praise. And my nervous system was like, fuck, okay, so if I want to socially alienate myself, stop fucking praising myself. That's bad shit. Like you're not meant to do that. You don't get accepted at the kitchen table, my home. You know, you don't get accepted with the guys at school. You don't get accepted by the teachers. Man, that was all pervasive. Did you ever hear that growing up, or like, what's the local versions of that sort of an essence of? Don't fucking praise yourself. Like, you know, this sort of shit, like, oh, he's too big for his boots and all of this.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of exactly the phrases or how it was communicated, but that idea was definitely very dominant in my upbringing. Yeah, I don't know if I can pinpoint exactly where it came from, but I definitely felt that way. And beyond that, you know, it was definitely don't praise yourself, but then there's another level to that too, that was like, and definitely don't expose yourself. Definitely don't be real. Definitely don't share that you're sad. Definitely don't share that you're, you know, that you have desires or that you're angry. Or so, I mean, it extended so deeply. Like my whole life was just like, don't be who you actually are. Don't love yourself. Don't honor yourself. Don't allow yourself to be honest even. So, and I see that too, as just like, that's a way I honor myself now, is just by being honest. I tell, like, this is that scientist piece of my bio. I just do experiments. Like I'm reaching out and I'm pushing into that unknown territory with my queen and my children and my environment, my people at work, all these different places, and just saying, hey, this is what I want. Or, hey, that makes me feel sad. Or, I mean, it seems so basic and so ridiculously silly. And yet, like, for me, those are big experiments in my existence. And it's a way that I'm honoring and loving myself.
Man, I love the experiment, the experiment label or that identity. I'm totally that. It's like fucking up the whole time. It's like every single day, if I'm not fucking up, well, I'm not experimenting. I'm not at my age. So I totally get that. But like, I know my experience of that, and still, like, you know, it seems like such a simple thing. I feel there's this sort of part where, in a profoundly sane and loving and connection-oriented society, what you're speaking to should be the default simplest fucking thing available to us, where it's like, hey, I'm sad, man. I just want to express that. And that, you know, the default reaction of the human being there in front of you is like, okay, man, you know, I'm curious, what's going on? You know, what's the sadness? Or, oh, there's no reason. Oh, there is a reason, whatever, you know, that it should be simple. But I think every single man listening in, and I know myself by extension, being real and honest with what's going on, it ain't fucking simple. I'm curious, Ty, in your experimentations, and like you're talking to, I love actually the expansive nature. It's not just like, you know, be the husband she brags about. It's queen oriented where we go there, but you're speaking with friends, with members of your community, your queen. Take us deeper. Tell us the story of what's actually showing up live in your experience of revealing your heart, of being vulnerable, of courageously speaking your truth in these relationships in a way that you weren't doing before, but you are now. What's the story there?
All right, I'll give you this is kind of a funny one. And honestly, that's kind of what the experimentation, that context shift that I've taken on. Like, I'm a scientist and I'm experimenting on this earth. It kind of takes away this deep, like, oh fuck, I got to do everything perfect. Or, oh man, you know, like if I screw up, man, that's, you know, that moment's gone forever. And this context of being a scientist and experimenting, I can just think of all the scientists who've gone before me. When I perform an experiment, I get fucked up sometimes, but, having that context shows me that actually I learned something, and I actually, even if I got fucked up in one sense, I got better and I got stronger and I got smarter in another sense. So this is a funny one. One morning I woke up with just giant wood. it happens to all of us, and it's a common occurrence for me. Well, in my experimentation, I was just feeling that like, you know what, like, here I am, this is me, let's put an experiment out in the world, man. So I sent my queen a dick pic, and that was that was my first ever of anything of that sort. Being raised a good Christian boy, like, I would never do something like that.
No, you can see that, like, just in the local Christian WhatsApp group, you know. Like,
oh, mom and dad are probably going to be listening to this too, and I can't wait to see their face. But yes, fired that sucker off, man. First thing in the morning, like, right, queen's probably not even awake yet, and just boom, first thing she sees in the morning. So, you know, and I was feeling, I was just loving it, man. You know, I was like, you know what? Here I am. This is me right early in the morning. Welcome to the world. Didn't get a response right away from the queen. Didn't get a response even maybe into the afternoon. Not even a response later. And I started getting worried, you know. I'm like, uh-oh. Like, what's going on here, bud? You know? Because, you know, she usually gets back to me pretty quick. So I forget exactly how we did end up connecting. But I learned in that moment, and I actually brought this to some of my brothers too afterwards, and just exposed it. You know, like, here's what I did. Here's what happened. Like, let's roll. Like, give me your flame. Give me your feedback. What's going on in me? What's going on in this experiment? And I got so much information out of that. my queen was not, she wasn't stoked about it. First thing off the bat, she was, you know, she felt kind of, really the way I would put it is just like, I wasn't considering her in that situation. And I was just like full on all in my head and in my experience. And I wasn't being a good lover in that sense. And speaking to my brothers as well about that, you know, they're just like, hey man, you know, that's you, but this is a two-person relationship. And you know, there may come a time where something like that is welcome, but it also exposes like the place that I'm at in my relationship with my queen is not a place where that kind of flame is appropriate, or it's not something that expresses love to her. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was a beautiful learning experience, and just something I laugh about now, you know.
Yeah, what I love about that, and like we talk within the circle, and I would give like a context with it, is like the cock energy. Yeah, and I love you bringing that up, because like, I mean, it's about being bold, you know. And I love that story. It's, I've had tons of moments when, man, playing with my sexual expression, fucking Roman Catholic upbringing, man. Like if brothers listening in are deeply inspired to the depths of being, don't let my experience or reporting of my experience take you off that path. Like I fucking celebrate any man that has that, but my experience, Roman Catholic Ireland, sexual shame, you just didn't fucking go there. Like in my family of origin, you just didn't do that. There was like hundreds of moments that I can remember, and tons more where like I'm never going to actively consciously remember them, but these imprints of, you know, the dirty scene comes up on TV, you know, you as a young boy, you glance at your dad, you see his eyes, they're alive. He's liking tits and ass on screen. He's liking that show. And my mom, you know, it's like sort of like the quick shutdown and, you know, the awkwardness. And then this awkwardness comes in. So, man, yeah. I love your story, because that courage, I've had my moments where, you know, dick pics. I love that term, by the way. I was like, okay, the dick pic. It actually has a term. Cool. Sounds good. The dick pic, when it was like, man, I was fucking like anxious as fuck. I don't think I went with as much cock energy. I was like, whoa, this feels so right. But I remember like doing that first time going, I'm fucking trembling on the inside. My inner child is like, my mom is going to fucking spank my fucking ass for this shit. Like clearly projecting on my queen. I was like, I slowed down probably too much, but I sent it anyway. And it was like, yeah, I, you know, whatever about the timing of it, but sort of she sort of received sort of saw the funny side of it. She had it, that part of my story. I think at that time, Ty, one thing that, you know, when that dude, I've spoken with you guys and a lot of guys listening in, but when that dude came into our family home, I invited him in and my queen fell in love with him. In the repairing the damage, one thing I committed to early on, and it's like just intuitively guided, is I'm not fucking shaming myself anymore. That's it. I'm done. I'm not blaming my queen, but I'm certainly not going to shame myself. And there's this part, and I witnessed that in you. It's like that scientist stuff. You know, you put the fucking two chemicals in together, it blows a hole in the fucking roof. Fix the fucking roof. Get on. If you're still alive, you're still alive. And there is that freshness needed. Because if you don't experiment, you're not going to fucking learn shit in relationship. If you don't try those new things. So yeah, just want to celebrate you and your example. Every guy listening in, guys, you got to listen. You got to experiment.
Heck yeah.
Take us back, Ty, to pre coming to this work within Heroic Husbands men's circles. Like you've been coming on in leaps and bounds, and this ferocious love and acceptance and just, you know, trial and error. And like your queen has been giving you like immense feedback. Maybe men's feedback for the dick pic, but man, she's in the totality of it all. She's been receiving you like in such a beautiful fucking way. Mm. Yet there was the work, if you want to say, Ty, that was showing up with that 10 out of 10 and in deep intimacy and in marriage and communication, 10 out of 10 with beautiful intentionality, but it wasn't landing. Can you take the guys listening in, take them into that story of how was that Ty Humphries showing up? And when you look back, like, what do you see are the signs where there was good intentions, but man, it just was never going to come off? Like, what does the Ty of you now know, looking back?
Man. Yeah. I love the way you put that. Like, it just wasn't landing. I look back at it and I'm like, man, I was fucking 10 out of 10. I was balls to the wall, trying everything I knew in my power to land that love and to land that safety for my queen. And I guess I would take it back to, and this is another dichotomy that you gave me, Mark, and I'm deeply grateful for it, is acceptability versus authenticity. And from a very young age, I chose acceptability in my life, which, you know, as you said, I think in a number of your podcasts, like, that's pretty normal for a young kid. We're brought up and we're kind of like just eyes wide open to what's going on in this world. And we intuitively recognize, like, I need to eat and I need a warm place and I need some love. So I better fucking fall in line and do whatever I need to do to get that. I would say that I grew up in an awesome home, a lot like you've said too, Mark. Definitely some major deficiencies, just like any home. But on the scale, I'd say I was in a very good home. And even with that, something deep inside me knew, or chose at least, that I needed to be acceptable. So I became a person who was very adaptable to whatever situation I was in, and became a master of that. You know, from my family dynamics, I think being a firstborn, my mom talks about when I was like, I think my brother's a year and a half younger than me. So when she went to the hospital to give birth to my brother, I was left with my grandpa and grandma, who were amazing, beautiful people. But my mom says when she came back to pick me up, I was calling my grandpa mommy. So I had adapted that quickly. Like, all right, mom's gone, grandpa's mommy now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think things like that have deep effect on us, as, you know, we just don't have the brain power to know really what's going on. So it's like, all right, I got a new mommy, I better just fucking get on with it and adapt and move on and, you know, become acceptable in that way. So I think there were moments like that that really solidified that acceptability mindset that I carried through. Then I took it to my religion, you know, Christianity, and became the quintessential, awesome, good Christian boy. Never have sex, never say bad words, always, you know, look people in the eyes and have a good firm handshake and all those things. And a lot of those things are really good. And yet when they come from a place of just being acceptable rather than authentic, then really it's just fucking bullshit. And that's really what a big part of my life was, up until, and I brought that into my marriage too. You know, Mark, you do a beautiful job talking also about how as men we're largely raised by women, and so becoming acceptable to women, and as a young boy, acceptable to women is being nice and being gentle and being all those kind of things, which have their place, but
It's certainly not sending dick pics.
Definitely not. I would have got a rap on the knuckles for that one. You be damn sure. So bringing that acceptability from the school place, from our society, from my home life, then into my marriage, and thinking, well, you know, like being a good little boy worked out here in society. It worked with my teachers. It worked everywhere else. So I'm going to be a good little boy in my marriage. And come to find out, I got a badass wife, man. And she was not going to put up with that shit. Which is another interesting dichotomy. I think even she on the surface often stated and acted like she wanted that. She wanted just a nice little yes man. But deep in her soul, she was dying. She was crying out for masculinity. She was crying out for safety and power and that deep fuck energy that you talk about, and also an emotional connection, which that was never going to happen with me because my emotions were fucking gone. I didn't have any emotions because those were rooted out of me long, long ago. So she spent 12 faithful years communicating beautifully to me, hey, you're not providing what I need. And I mean, the heroics of how she communicated and stayed with that are just absolutely epic. And I will forever be grateful to her for that.
Excuse me, you're mid-flow. Yeah. I just really want the presence. I'm tearing up. It's like 12 is the magic number for me as well. Like with my queen, just...
I know.
And it's like, it's to get to this point now as, you know, as two men, brothers on this path, to be able to hold structure for that realization and go, wow. I know, like tears to the back of my eyes immediately. It's a shared empathy for your experience, but it's a reliving, it's a releasing of that grief within myself going, wow, you know, I now get now, finally, and still a ton of work to get to the full depths of what that means, but it's like on the way, but to be able to empathize and go, fuck, like 12 years of, man, like she was starved. I know my queen was starved. Like, you know, the feminine, I learned that from Larry Hagner from the dad age, is like feminine needs to be seen, heard, and safe. I'm like, I'm singing that like as a mantra in the podcast with you guys, myself, with my queen, with my girls, but like not to have known that. It's immense. What fucking potent women though. You know, it's like, and we, my grief is like, and I'd like want to touch base with you, but from those protective pathways in this profoundly sick society where like our dads, our uncles, no elders, you know, the elder lineage, the masculine lineage was ripped out, sanitized out of us. No man there to go, hey, son, you know, come here to decide. It's like, this is what you're looking for in a powerful woman. You know, a powerful woman is going to challenge you. It's like, man, I'm yearning. Like, of course, I can't go back. I'm not saying I want to go back, but it's like the grief is, if I met this work, if I met my first mentors in men's work when I was 2 years in, and like, this is what I want, but I just fucking celebrating the weekend as men, just be in the space where queens are coming back, their hearts are open. But I feel you're speaking for every single man listening in, where it's going to be 12 years for some guys, 2 years for other guys, and fucking 32 years for other guys. It's a common experience.
Well, that's what I love about your mission, Mark, is, you know, we're becoming the husbands who are going to change this world. And I'm on that war path, man. I am fucking digging into every man I can get my hands on to just love on them and pass on some of this information, because like you said, man, you hit the nail on the head. There really is just an information level. Like there's a deep heart level and a deep spiritual level to this work, but there's also just a basic fucking information level, like how the feminine works and how the masculine works. Like, it's very simple concepts, and yet why the fuck did I never hear about this stuff until I'm 38 years old? It could have really helped me. It could have really changed my life, I think. But then again, I also wonder if, because even as I talk to men today, they're not willing to go there, almost to a man, until they get that experience, which I call the slap, which is where the woman finally just says, fucking enough, man. And for me, that was the point where I woke up. And you know, it's kind of like your breakdown, breakthrough experience. That was my experience. And it woke me up. So there's a knowledge component, but there's also an experience component and a spiritual component. And yet I also see, like, we are connected to these women. You know, you have your beautiful queen, I have mine, and there's some spiritual element to how the universe, how God put me with that woman, because she guided me to the place that I am now. And I am deeply, deeply grateful to her for that.
It's one of the things that's coming through me as you're saying that, those beautiful words that you're articulating so perfectly, is initiation. You know, guys, you can speak to them, but there's this initiatory rite of passage that queens bring. My queen, another dude, he's meeting every single one of my fucking needs. My heart's just going to fucking go there. And it's like, it's not conscious. It's like, but my nervous system, the horses of my nervous system, they're just fucking running wild straight for him. What are you going to fucking do? You know, and it's initiation. I know you're, I fucking love that you were reporting in the last group, man, the Iron John, that book. It's all about initiations. And within that book, there's a part where they're talking about the initiations of different tribes. And it must be one in Africa. But I still remember, it's like, they bring these young men, young boys, you know, being challenged, being initiated into manhood. And it's like, dude, out of this fucking village, obviously they have their due process preparation. Their whole life has been leading up to that. It's not that they're just fucked out there. Everything in that society was about their authentic expression, about their power. But it's like the coming of age is like, dude, you're going out into the savannah alone with a weapon. It ain't a fucking gun. It's a knife, a dagger, a spear. You got to bring back a fucking grown lion dead on your fucking shoulders. I'm like, there's just this, it's another grief of mine. And it's like trying to bring that in with guys, but it's this power of when you set that sort of a scenario up, which our queens do, they're like, our queens have this fucking, okay, patriarchal society, whatever the fuck, we don't need to go in. Profoundly sick society has been, there have been fuck arson around with it for centuries, if not millennia, et cetera, et cetera. But it's like, we ripped that initiation rite of passage. Like, we would have been initiated men first. And finally, only when you're an initiated man would the people in the village go, okay, you're now right. You're now ready for marriage. Because why? What's the ultimate fucking initiation? It's a fucking furious, unapologetic, unboxable, untamable queen. And I'm like,
amen, brother.
But it's like, to be human, I know the part of me when I read that, I'm like, man. And again, it's that part. It's like, I bet the fucking shit out of myself because I wasn't up to the challenge of her full flame. But man, like, no fucking prep. So it's like, it's a bumpy ride, but there is a deep fucking spiritual journey going on. I see you're smiling. I'm fucking curious. What's hopping about in your neurons?
So the thing that comes to my mind as you're saying that is, I remember I was newly married and probably maybe a year in. And I remember going on a walk with a brother of mine, and we were just talking about marriage. And, you know, he had been married for some time, and so he was counseling me and just trying to encourage me. And I remember I could take you to the place right now out in the forest in Breckenridge, Colorado, and sitting on a rock, we stopped and I just said, man, I would rather take a bear out of that forest barehanded. I'd rather fucking fight that thing than go back. Like, I don't know what to do with this woman. A bear, at least I got some teeth. I can dig it into it and maybe try and poke its eyes out or grab a stick and hit it, or at least I could do something. But I was so lost at that point that I would have rather taken a bear on barehanded.
You're bringing up a memory. I had a great laugh, and fuck my mind. The Green Beret that was on. Oh man, it was such a beautiful time with him. His name is not coming. I had a guest as a guest on one of the early guests on the show when I started taking guests on the first time. But I remember having this laugh with him. But it was like this real fucking like realization. This dude had been through Green Beret training. And I actually know, like, just the guys that wasn't in the bio, it's like, you're a fireman. And it's like, it's just this, we've had this training, you know, you walk, you're trained to walk in, you fucking march towards the fire. When everybody is going the opposite way, you're going fucking there. This other man, you know, it's like, he's trained Green Beret. It's like, where there's fucking conflict, he's game ball. Everything in his nervous system is trained to go to it. And yet the laugh at the time was, he had the full training, and he was shitting himself. We had such a laugh on that episode in the conversation. He was shitting himself as he was bringing, I think there was something that his soon-to-be queen had forgotten in his home. He was bringing across to her. He was feeling all sweaty-handed and as nervous. He was all hyper-arised physiologically and neurologically going into the whatever the cafe where she was working to say, hey, you know, you forgot this. And obviously he was trying to plant seeds of connection, but we have this fucking training yet, you know, UFC star, Green Beret, fucking doesn't matter, Navy SEALs, fireman, it doesn't matter, fuck, when our heart and soul is on the line and there's a beautiful queen in front of us and like our spiritual pad is like to connect, there's nothing more fucking terrifying. That's been my experience of, man, I could do fucking sport, I can do fucking jiu-jitsu, I can do all of that shit.
So the thing that, yeah, oh, I'm with you, brother. The thing that stands out to me as you're saying that is you keep bringing up the training, you know, like I've been trained to be a fireman, you know, he was trained to be a Green Beret. The other thing that hits my mind is I also have brothers. When I go into that fire, I don't go alone. And so I have brothers who are with me, and I lay my life in their hands and they lay theirs in mine, brothers and sisters. And that kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier in marriage. We don't have training, and you speak a lot to it too. It's a beautiful point. We also lone wolf. We don't have brothers. And that's something that's so beautiful about the men's circles is we're getting training. We're training each other. Mark, you're bringing your flame. I bring my flame. I bring the stuff that I've learned. The other brothers bring their stuff. And we're together. We're being trained and we're training each other and we're arm in arm. And I remember, I think it was Andrew Grist in one of the meetings just said, man, I will go to fucking war with you guys. And that's like, this is the war. Like this is the deepest challenge in our lives, and we are going to war together, and we're helping each other, we're training each other, and it's fucking beautiful.
Ty, take me deeper and take every guy listening in, because I over communicated, like you're part of that movement, and it's like intensely saturated in your nervous system now. But guys listening in, you know, there's a ton of guys like yourself off 5-6 months ago, like myself of like 4 years ago, where it's like the nervous system has yet to get what that actually means. It's one thing to hear a guy go, yeah, okay, get support. But what was the transition for you like of, you know, all of that, like as you said earlier on, you know, you grew up in this profoundly sick society where being authentic, you just, you had to be acceptable and learn not to share anything. So to take all of those fears of like social, being socially humiliated by men, you know, boys don't fucking cry, what are you doing? And you take this transition into, okay, I've got to fucking show up as a husband, as a man, as a communicator, as a lover. But the path that you chose was to come into your heroic husband's men circles. What was that inner world journey for you from one cultural norm into, man, this is a fucking, like, this is radically different. What were the bumps along the journey, you know, in the initial transitions into that new culture like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I would, as I look back at it, I just recognize, like I already said, my queen was, you know, a catalyst. You know, it got to the point where it was just like, enough's enough. I moved out for 2 months and then came back, slept in a different bedroom for another 2 months. That was a big bump. You know, that was the initial wake up call. And thank God, right around that time, I had just read Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink, which I know you talk about a lot too.
I still remember that first call together. I lost track of time. We just started fucking geeking out about Extreme Ownership.
I love that. I love that man. He's a beautiful, badass, solid. But yeah, that book really, and right at that time, you know, was so poignant in my life, because it's like, well, I have a choice here. I can say, well, she did this and she did that and she's not showing up and blah, blah, blah. And yet I had fresh in my mind the example of Jocko after a mission went horribly. And it would have been very easy. And his job was on the line. He's a Navy SEAL commander. This is his career, big deal. And he could have just been like, well, private douchebag over there didn't call the right sign on the radio or some, you know, something like that. And yet something in his soul recognized in that moment, like, I'm the fucking leader here. I'm taking ownership of this. And something about when my queen gave me that slap, and having read that book, something just woke up in me at that moment, to be like, I'm the leader. If not in my family, if not in my marriage, at least in my own life. This is my life. And this is what's happening in my life. I can put it off on her, or I can take ownership. And that's another one of those deep, deep, powerful, I think, universe, like, shattering truths, is own your shit, take ownership of your life, take responsibility for your life. It absolutely changes everything. But I think you asked more about transitioning into the groups. Is that?
Yeah, the transition. So you've come upon Extreme Ownership. You've got the body slam, the energetic slap from your queen. So you're now in Extreme Ownership mode. You come to the podcast and you're like, okay, this is men's work. This is going to be a bunch of dudes. I don't fucking know. You know, any shit could be in there. What was that transition like, coming from the outside, leap of faith, discovery call with me? Felt good, you fucking went with it. What was the initial experience like? What was take us into, you know, what are you feeling there, just waiting, Zoom coming on, you know, 5 minutes before coming on? You don't know these guys, you don't know what's going to go down, you don't know what they're going to bring, you don't know their shadows, and you know, you've got all of this past that's telling you, don't fucking open up, don't fucking be vulnerable. You're going to be fucking killed if you open up. But you're about to go in, like, I like it, you know, the gladiator scene and with Russell Crowe, and the guy's like, you know, on my command, when those gates open, unleash hell, or I forget what the exact thing is. What, you know, retrospectively looking back, slowing down, like, What was your nervous system chewing with? Do you have these complete contrasting stories? What were those initial experiences like within you? Was there resistance, or were you just in total fucking surrender and there was no issue at all? Or I'm really curious. There's no expected answer here. I'm deeply curious.
Yeah. That's a good thing for me to think about. As I think through it, I'm just recognizing, I think there was hope, you know, there was a lot of hope. It was like, yeah, maybe this, I mean, I think just from hearing you speak, you know, and knowing that you were leading this group, so much of what you said on your podcast just resonated deeply with me. And I mean, I can't tell you how many times, like, I'd be out on a run, listening to your podcast and just like grunt out of the depth of my soul and just like, and just feel it, man. And I knew what I was getting into was beautiful and powerful. And yet I still also recognized that there was a period of learning to trust as well in the group. I remember, you know, maybe two or three times in, I dropped one of my deepest bombs, and, you know, I wasn't able to do that right off the bat. And I remember, you know, every time, especially right there at the beginning, I think we've developed a habit now, and so you don't have to say it as much, but at the beginning you would call us, hey, give us your deepest, go as deep as you possibly can. And, you know, I knew those things that were in me that were the deepest, and yet I couldn't bring them right out, right off the bat. So it was a process of learning to trust and feeling it out, which, you know, like, that process has changed me. Here I am on a podcast telling the world that I sent a dick pic. Like, I'm ready to open my soul up and expose myself, because I know the feedback that I get isn't, you know, this is an experiment. Give me what you got. I want to hear. And so, yeah, it was a process of learning to trust, but it was a quick process, and it's deeply, deeply effective process, as I just evidenced with my dick pic story.
You couldn't have better evidence, guys listening in, if you can share that shit. And what has been the experience for your nervous system to experience the opposite of those, you know, hundreds and thousands of impressions as a young boy growing into a man, of, you know, the embodiers of masculinity, you know, sending that message to you, you know, boys don't fucking cry. Don't be sharing your sadness here. Like, man up, be confident, you know, like, get your shit together, all of that type of stuff. What was the experience within your nervous system of getting the polar opposite of, man, all is welcome? Like, your entire truth, it doesn't matter the light, the shadow, fucking in totality. Just fucking tell us, man. That's the only challenge. We're going to ferociously challenge you if you're holding that shit back. But when you bring it, total acceptance. What was that experience like initially, to go, whoa, fuck, like, anything is welcome here?
It's hard to even put words to it. I mean, I really would describe the way I lived my life before as like I was a prisoner. And so, like, to have a space where I could really be myself, be honest, it was like getting let out of jail. It was like a breath of fresh air. It was like, I mean, I just, you know, my soul, as I think about it, I envision, like, this beautiful soul just emerging out of a cage, out of a dark cage, and just a roar that just comes out of him. Just, here I am. And, man, I think the roar, there's no words for it, man. It's just a...
It's... I fucking love that. You know how I lead the group, and I don't know if it comes through in the podcast, but that primal shit, it's like, when I say profoundly sick society, man, it used to upset me. It used to upset me, like, to share it with you, and I do forget where I've shared what, but it's coming live now. So if I've shared it before, it's true to my expression in this moment. But one, I've had multiple big spiritual moments when I can look back, like, and go, wow, that, like, the tapestry, the course of my life changed then. But to share with you, we're in this house, Ty, about 5 years. So I'm talking probably our first Christmas, New Year. This is like, I think it's like the 3rd or the 4th of January in our first year here. So you're talking about 4.5 years ago. My queen and myself, I was like masculine, orderly, fucking, I was already like get to bed early and all the rest. But man, just went full feminine that night. Girls went to bed, New Year's, reflective. We did what we did early days. And I used to, like, my queen always, she speaks to that. It's like these moments when we just stay up till 4 a.m, just fucking talking, you know, just full, the protective bullshit of my childhood had yet to come true. And it was just open hearted connection. And we had one of those nights, but I was there. It was like, I remember looking at the clock, it was like 2:30 and I'm in the floods of tears. And I just knew, it's like, there's something here. There's fucking something here. Floods of tears. Yet to do, you know, deep men's work. But I just had this inner knowing. And I love that inner knowing in me. And that 10 out of 10 inner knowing in you and in every fucking man. It's like, we've always had an inner knowing. Always. Always. It's like, there was some inner knowing going, just fucking lean in. And I remember saying to my queen, it's like, baby, just ask me whatever questions. There's something that needs to come through here. And floods of tears. And she asked me, like, whatever few questions. And obviously knowing me as deep as she did, she knew how to get there. And man, I was inconsolably feeling a depth of grief and utter hopelessness. And you know what it was, man? It's like at that stage, my two girls, they're 9 and 13 now. It's like, whatever, do the fucking maths. It's like 4 and 8 or 9. And my deepest fear that had me paralyzed in that moment was I was getting caught up with, like, seeing the world and the world that the story that the profoundly sick society fucking projects, which is like it's doom and gloom. I was caught. I was like, man, I was caught in this story of I can't do anything. It's like, and my deepest fear, what was driving those tears, Ty, was this feeling of hopelessness of I'm going to come and I'm going to fucking go. And I'm going to be on my deathbed with the utter desperation of feeling as a man, I didn't have the power to shift a needle of humanity at that moment. And that was fucking devastating. I'm like, my beautiful girls and their family and their kids and the next generations, I'm incapable. I, at that moment, did not believe I had the power. Now, I share that with you now because this is sort of maybe some of the stuff that maybe doesn't come out in the podcast and my movement and that rocked me to my fucking core. That total devastation. I cried for, I don't know, was a 45 fucking minutes. I was not a man for crying back then, but I cried and cried and cried. But I reached a floor and literally, I can look into all the dominoes and go, that's why I'm fucking talking with this badass motherfucker, Ty Humphries, and we're doing this dance now and the podcast and the movement. Because why? I'm like, that was like ground zero for me. Total hopelessness. And I was like, just bit by bit going, well, I clearly can't fucking live like that. My fear of meeting my deathbed going, you came, you saw, but you fucking failed. You didn't even have the balls to even fucking try. And I'm like, I've been obsessed, that experimenter part of me going, well, what the fuck if you just have this conversation? What the fuck if you just go and speak to these people? What the fuck? And then a podcast. And what the fuck if you just brought 10 out of 10 more? And what the fuck would happen if you're episode 110 out of 10 and you just kept redefining? And what the fuck? And I'm like, look at what's fucking happening. Ty Humphries, Andrew Grizz, Sav coming on, leading the world. The rest of the guys doing immense work, ready, in line to come on. And like, the world is changing. The world is fucking changing. So I just wanted to share that with you. Like, I love these conversations with you guys because I feel I can share more intimately about my backstory. It just naturally comes out. But I'm loving seeing the movement and then seeing you take on that, you know, that torch and that flame and how you're going on and getting feedback from your queen.
Can I just make a statement about what I heard there?
Yeah, please do, man.
So what I heard there was you allowed yourself to feel your emotions. And you went there, you know, you went into your reality, which is something that our society, like we've talked about already, like it tries to keep us away from our reality. Just cover it up. Just be strong. Don't go there. And yet when you went to your reality, when you actually gave your reality time and you actually let it be what it was, weeping and uncontrollable, open all the way to the bottom, something beautiful came out of it. Like that death that happened sprouted something beautifully alive. And that's something that I'm seeing in my own life too, is when we allow our reality to just be, and we actually give it some time. When I'm angry, or when my queen does something that triggers me now, like to me, that's like a fucking gold nugget, man. I grab onto that thing and I'm like, what's going on in me right now? What just happened? And I want to drum the depths of what's happening there. And I don't do it perfectly. I got a lot of room to grow there. But your example of just reminded me of that. When we actually allow our reality and give it the time, fucking beautiful things come out of it.
I'm really curious and I'm loving what we're doing. This is the fucking dojo, guys. Off recording, telling myself we're okay, this is the fucking dojo. We're just gonna fucking go wherever it goes, and just loving this fire, man, feeling the love and the connection with you deeper than ever. You mentioned 15-20 minutes ago about the training, you know, there's the lone wolfing, get the brotherhood behind you. I actually love that example of what you said. Hey, when I go into that house, there's my brothers, my sisters, there's a team, I'm fully supported, and I have training. So there's training and support, this magical setup of all people that manage to perform, support, team, you know, and training. What you were mentioned there is like, now you, like, you go to the feminine shitstorm, you know, like you go, it's like, you're now curious. It's now, it's like not a void enough before. I don't have the tools because this is going to fucking hurt. Now with the trainings, what I'm curious now is in the imperfect practice, and put my fucking hand up, I'm imperfectly practicing every fucking day that God gives me to live more. The goddess energy in this world gives me life. I'm imperfectly practicing all the time. But what, take us into the story of the feminine shitstorm, your powerful, potent, unboxable queen. She's digging the heels in and she's giving you high flame feedback, or she's just gone spontaneous, boom, hitting you in the face with it. What happens? What has the training supported your nervous system to, boom, it's go time? Take us into that story. Take us into what's happening in your nervous system now, you know, sort of on a step-to-step basis of what do you do that is now allowing you. And I know from the feedback that you've shared with us, your fucking queen has given you immense positive feedback. Guys, just to build a context here, we don't, you know, it's like Ty has got inarguably incredible feedback from his queen from his performance. But what are you doing in those moments with all of this training, with all of this challenge? What are you doing in those moments now that is allowing you build connection, is allowing you have your queen feel profoundly more safe, and that's getting better and better and seen and heard. What are you doing, Ty?
Man, so what I really think is happening, Mark, you've given us amazing tools for the moments, and I got to be honest, I am not great at employing those at this point. I love them. I love the own curious truth, and part of that, the curious part of that, I definitely am grabbing onto, and the owning part, that extreme ownership part too. So that's a beautiful tool that you've given us that I feel like I have implemented better. The five pillars, I'm not awesome at.
Neither am I.
I don't know, the way you guys talk, man, I'm like, you guys, Scott Wilson, man, he's my dojo master on that one, man. He breathes like I don't even remember to breathe, man. I'm still working on it, and I have my own little ritual where I practice that outside of the flame, just on my own.
Yeah,
but that, to speak to that, the thing that I think is really allowing me to show up differently is that I am loving myself better. And I am honoring myself better. And some of the ways that I do that are by getting up in early in the morning to have my own time and to work on my body, and to breathe. The practices that you've given us, Mark, with breathing, so powerful. Those are two things. And then another thing is, there's so many different experiments, but one is just recognizing that there is femininity in me. And I was so adverse to that. You know, our society is like, you pussy. You're crying like, oh shit, I better get that femininity away from me. Oh, emotions are feminine. Oh fuck, get those away from me. I'm not touching those. Like, I got to be seen as badass masculine man, which is exactly the opposite of what happens. But I've actually practiced, and we do this in our men's circles too, like the body movements. And I read a book, I think it might have been The Way of the Superior Man, or it might have been Justin Patrick Pierce, I think, who you've had on, his book, fucking awesome. But just some of those practices of, man, I stand in front of a mirror and I dance, and I just like flow around, and like I actively seek out my femininity. Because I've one of those books said it, like, how can you expect to connect with external femininity if you can't even connect with your internal femininity? And that makes a lot of sense to me. So that all that stuff is all encapsulated in just like, man, I just honor myself. I just love myself. And I'm like, And in a sense, I don't take myself too seriously too. Like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go dance in front of a mirror and see what happens. And surprisingly enough, like you were talking about earlier, Mark, we all have, it's in us all. There is an intuitive knowledge of what we need to do. That's what I'm finding. And it slowly opens up as we take those little steps, like, oh, I dance in front of a mirror. And the next thing I know, like, I've got another experiment in my mind that, oh, you know what, I'll try that. And and I have just seen, like, the way I show up to my marriage, the way I show up to my queen, I am far more able to stand in that flame and honestly, I fucking love it. It's not all of me. There's a part of me that's still really scared, but there's a deeper part of me that's like, bring it on, man. You know, like, this is my opportunity to grow and to become the man that I want to be. So it's kind of, it's less in the moment for me. It's more about the practices that I'm embodying outside of the moment.
Yeah. I love you bringing in the feminine in you. And the movement, like, as you say, in the circle, we do that movement, like just a shake up in the movement, like 2 hours in Zoom room. On a physiologically part, you got to fucking move. But there is that deep feminine part of, you know, movement is emotions. It's like, that's why you dance. But man, I know fucking dance. That's like the amount of homophobic fucking bullshit slang is like, yeah, put it on a homophobic fucking slang thing. There's only gay guys do that. And there also was this fucking dichotomy and confusion. Like, I remember going to university, like these gay dudes that dance all the time, the women are all fucking random. This is a sick fucking joke. I remember having jokes with like gay guys going, you fucking move, you do the dance shit. They're fucking all around you. You don't fucking want them. This is a sick fucking joke. And like, I didn't know masculine, feminine, all that shit. But it was like, what I did know was like, I remember in college, man, first 3 years, couldn't dance. Like, I mean, it's Irish college times, like I would have like 11 or 12 pints of beer, Guinness in me. I'd have fucking shots of whiskey, vodka, Red Bull in me. And I'm still inhibited. It's almost like neurophysiologically, I look back and go, how the fuck can your shadow be that dark? Ty, I remember being that fucking wasted. I'm barely able to fucking walk, but walking onto the dance floor, I still have memories of, I don't want to fucking dance. It was that deep in me. And yet, I remember in fourth year for me was like this breakthrough sort of moment when started investigating meditation, Buddhism, fucking like vegetarianism, quit alcohol, which was a major thing. Definitely like for a year, it was the first time I went, Irish guy, Irish culture, you don't fucking do that. But it was like, I needed that detox to, I remember the exhilaration of dancing for the first time. And I actually practiced, it was like, I did an episode in this early on in the podcast. It's like this Taoist secret to fucking confidence or something. But it was this Taoist idea of, imagine you're drunk. I remember it was like, cool, that's a fucking cool idea. And it was like this sort of like, yeah. I was fucking badass back then because I was experimenting again to the experimentation, not having a fucking clue. Years before meeting Men's Work, but I remember going into a nightclub going, I'm not getting a fucking drink, that's it. And I'm gonna pretend to be fucking drunk. Man, yes. It was glorious. I remember like fucking being drenched and I danced my ass off for fucking 2.5 hours straight and it was like, man, it was glorious. And yet, like in this society, like, dudes, you're not meant to fucking do that. You know, it's like Justin Timberlake can do that because he's fucking trained. He's done the shit. Again, training. He's allowed because, well, we don't even fucking question. Justin Timberlake is just fucking allowed and all of these dudes are allowed, but I'm not allowed. But it's so fucking beautiful to just move your fucking body and go, this is fucking a beautiful experience.
Well, and everything in the universe is telling you, go move your body. Look at all the women going to the guys who are moving their bodies. And yet you can't even get there. Crazy.
Oh, man. One of the things, and I wouldn't even say I do it as a practice, and it doesn't always come to me, like when it spontaneously feels right. I walk into the kitchen like in the evening. Hey, there's a lot of shit going on, a lot of horses, full day work. My queen is doing tons of horse stuff. We unschool our girls, like every guy going in. I'm not fucking saying anything just special about in my setup. You know, we all have a full life, but I come in and, you know, there's moments when I see Matilda and I just know, like, she's up against it. She's had a long day, whatever. Shit has went down. There's this moment. And quite often, like, Anya now, she's 13. She's big into her pop music. And man, I just feel the fucking beat. And if I tried to do it like, okay, now it's time for dance, it's like, it just fucking, I just feel the beat, man. I just fucking start moving. And I don't know. I feel as cool as fuck. I feel in those moments, Michael Jackson, Justin Timberlake, guys, you're just going to fucking be burned.
They got
off
nothing on you.
You got fucking nothing on me, guys. And I just fucking have this smile on my face. That part that fucking gives a fuck about other people, it's there, but it's on the shelf. And I'm just fucking moving and I'm dancing. And I dance with Anya, dance with Elena. I'm looking at my queen and she's like going on. And she's smiling already. She's used to it this time. But I just fucking dance up to her and I'm like dancing. And then I get her and like, man, within like 20 seconds flat, not even. Her badass fucking shithole day that I've yet to fully hear. She doesn't even need to speak to it. And I'm like, man, being at home with your feminine. And like, am I cool as fuck? Probably not. But the thing is, who's cool as fuck? It's like, I'm self-declared cool as fuck and she feels it and it doesn't fucking matter. But yeah, I'm just loving that conversation, the feminine and the movement and bringing that up, man. Just loving being able to share that with you.
And the feminine, from what I've learned, you know, the reason we feel like the feminine is so crazy is because they live in the current emotion. So everything they're doing is out of that current emotion. So if what I feel like you latched onto with that is you're just changing the emotion. You're just replacing the old emotion, like the tired, the angry, the grumpy, with like, hey, let's fucking dance. And now her emotion is totally different and you just changed her whole world.
Simple as. And as you said, it's like when you don't have the tools, like you, I love your simplicity when you said, when you don't have the fucking tools, you know, if you're a builder, if you try to bang in fucking nails with a saw, I mean, if you don't have the fucking tools, you're not going to build anything beyond a fucking straight plank. You know, you're not. It just ain't going to fucking happen. But with the tools, it all becomes alive and available. Ty, a natural part, and I really wanted to speak to this, a natural part of when guys come to this work, they realize and feel it's probably vicariously quite evident when guys listening in, it's about like reclaiming your soul, reclaiming your godliness, your right to your birthright to just be fucking in love with yourself and accept yourself. So it's like reclaiming your soul. It's almost like the marriage, that's secondary. It happens by itself. But one thing that I've noticed in you, and I've noticed in a lot of guys, is purpose starts coming to the surface. And I know you've been leaning in. There's a part of, you know, there's an age part of purpose coming up in you as a natural part of coming in touch with that authentic truth, that there's something more in you to give society. Can you share with us here where you're at with that path? I know it might, I don't know. I'm actually want to touch base and see where it's at. It's in the stirrings of your soul and your nervous system that there's a message coming through you. I'm seeing you light up with this. I'm loving. Can you share with us where you're at, what that looks like, what that process feels like to question purpose and honor that truth coming through you?
To me, the big smile on my face is because it's kind of a joke at this point to me. And I love that it's a joke. It's funny. It's like, it's so ridiculous that, but I don't care because it's me. And I'm loving it and I'm doing it for me. So the big joke to me right now is I've started doing men's retreats. I've done two of them so far and not a single man other than myself has attended. And
I'm giving full on celebration for that, because you fucking, the success is setting the fucking scene, man.
Dude, and for me, it's an honoring of myself. Like, that's something I want to do. And so if at this point, God only sees fit for me to attend those, then man, I'm as happy as a pig in shit to be there. So that's the joke. That's the funny part of it. And yet, you know, like, I also recognize, like, I can adjust. Like, that's one of those experiments again. Like, I'm, you know, the time that I started it, or the this or the that. So I'm playing with that and adjusting that and trying to grow my contact list, because right now it's really only my buddies or people that I come in contact with that I think might benefit from something like that. So, you know, it's an experiment. I'm getting feedback. I'm taking that feedback. I'm adjusting. I'm growing. I'm moving into the next funny spot. I just put up my first Instagram post maybe 2 days ago. It's freaking ridiculous if you looked at it compared to every other Instagram post out there, and yet I fucking love it. So
what's fucking beautiful about it? Like in this context, you know how we roll in this culture, like false modesty, fucking rip that shit out. What's fucking beautiful about it? What does that signify for you? It's a simple Instagram post, but what's the sacred medicine that's in that expression for you?
Yeah, it's just honoring myself. It's just loving myself and saying, you know what? Yeah, I've got something to say. I'll put it out there. If no one else on this earth ever reads it, like, I'm just stoked that I did it. And that's building that self-love, which then. So I've also kind of seen this progression, like self-love leads to integrity, which leads to confidence, which leads to power. And that's what I see there. Like, I just loved myself a little bit. And because of that, I'm in integrity and I feel good about myself. And that's a cycle that just keeps growing. And then from there, I have confidence and I can move into the next experiment. And then from there, that just creates power. And so, yeah, it really, the bottom line is just loving myself.
I just love that you're getting into teacher mode. I fucking geek out at like phases and language and getting like your phases. Man, I fucking love that shit where you're finding your phases. The teacher in you, the spiritual teacher in you, is like honoring your experience, honoring your words and teachings that are coming through and going, hey, these are my phases. This is what I see. That's awesome. Awesome shit, man. Myself, I'm years fucking shit out, trialing, experimenting, getting fucking abused by siblings because who the fuck am I? Get the fuck back to physiotherapy. And man, I've set boundaries and I've learned some people weren't actually my fucking friends. And funnily enough, I've let them go and just trusting my soul and that, like, put it out. I'm off social media now, but I was on Facebook. I was doing the shit, put it out. And man, how many of those posts? My soul, my inner child was looking back in going, you know, like, you know, I crafted that motherfucker, you know, like I was shitting it and nothing. Fucking crickets. A couple of apologetic fucking like thumbs up or fucking from dudes that, yeah, they knew me. They were busy like to put a fucking thing up. And it's like, but like here I fucking am. And here you are. And I know, like, I get so inspired when I hear this shit because, and I love that you actually brought the failures as successes, because we fucking in this society, it's like, oh, I set it up twice and it was just me. And yet that's an inherent part of it. If I fucking quit all of those posts that got crickets, I tried YouTube, fucking screwed it up. I'm on the fourth iteration of the podcast platform. Screwed up. I had like a fucking membership, man. I shared this with you. It's like I had a membership that launched 2 years ago.
I remember hearing it. I remember hearing you say it on the podcast.
Yeah, man. I was like deeply suicidal for two fucking days. I had a lot of shadow. I put my heart and fucking soul. Now that was like heart and soul. That wasn't just a post. But it was like heart and soul, 4 months telling my queen, baby, this is it. I'm taking it serious and I'm fucking working hard. And like night and day on that, launched. Two guys apologetically just fucking signed up like for the year membership. They didn't show up. But I'm like, here I am. And Gandhi took him fucking decades to get where he was. And Nelson Mandela decades, and fucking every human being. I love you, man. I love this courage. I love that you've shared that with such grounded humility. And I fucking want every man listening in, because what I've observed, I don't know if it's true for you, Ty, but purpose, there's some life-giving force that takes over the masculine nervous system and soul when you're like, I've got something to gift here. There's a mission, there's a message, there's some fucking movement that I'm here to represent. And it could just be for a few people, but it's not just those few people. That is, if it's my family, that's it. That's my message, that's my movement. But purpose, something takes over. Has that been your experience of like this playful joking? It's your joke, but there's something fucking deep. There's something deeper that runs deeper when you come in contact and honor that purpose coming through you.
Absolutely. Yeah, like I said earlier, man, every dude I get to talk to at the fire department, like if they have an open ear, I'm just trying to love on them, trying to ask them deep questions, trying to, you know, be open to if they want my feedback, man, I'm there ready to give it. And yeah, man, I take this everywhere I go. So
dying on a touch base. I'll probably keep this in because that's how I fucking roll. How's your timing? I've went disgracefully not looking at the clock. Are you good to like bring this into landing in the next 10 minutes, man?
Yeah, I'm good.
You good with that? Thank you for your generosity of time and just what you're bringing.
Oh, my pleasure.
Ty, I've asked this of Sav and Andrew, and it's beautiful, the diversity of wisdom and open-hearted expression and words that come through different guys. We're coming up, guys listening in, I've been saying it, putting it out there, there's one intake of new members to Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. I've had an influx. It's been fucking humbling, exciting, beautiful and amazing. And it's like, since Sav and Andrew came on, and man, the impact of listening to you guys, and you're going to be going live this Thursday, it's inspiring men to the depths of their being. And yet there's going to be guys there where, yeah, it's one thing for Ty, but there's that shadowy part sort of saying, fucking, you know, maybe just not for me. There's a handbrake semi up, he wants it to be down, but he's like, there's just this force that's just making it a struggle to go, fuck it, let's just jump on an application call. Let's fucking just jump on this wave and see where it takes me. With your experience now of having been through it, what words would you be saying to that guy if he was across the table, you met him in a restaurant, he's shared his heart, he's like, I'm considering, I'm on the edge, I'm nearly there. What would you say to that guy?
Well, I mean, first, I just say, like, I mean, Mark is offering a free call. You get to talk to this badass dude for however long it is. And I mean, why the hell wouldn't you? That's just a no-brainer. So grab onto that. And then the other thing I would say is Mark's a badass. He's a beautiful human soul. I fucking love him, but he's just the tip. You want the whole thing, man. There's so much more going on in these groups. Mark leads us, and he leads us beautifully, and it's awesome. But the deeper and more constant and ongoing power is just gaining brothers and the wisdom that everyone brings to the group. So, I mean, I get that resistance, and I can empathize with that. You know, it's money spent on you, and that's another thing we're kind of shamed, like, oh, you shouldn't spend money on yourself. But man, I'm telling you, dude, you think about the amount of money you're going to spend on your divorce because you don't have brothers supporting you and helping you figure out how to be a man, how to interact with the feminine. This is the best deal going. So the money thing is, you're getting so much more than what you're paying. So yeah, at the very least, call Mark, talk to him for a minute, and then I would encourage you to join. It's unbelievably powerful.
Thank you, Ty, for those words. And it's different from the other guys. And I just love that, different words to inspire different reactions with guys. Ty, it's a fucking understatement of my day today, my year so far, to say I love you, brother. You're a fucking awesome individual. You can be so proud. And I mean it from the most conscious point. I'm so proud of you. Like, pride has a funny fucking connotation, but like, brother to brother, the gap, how far you've come in such an insanely short period of time. Yes, I set the scene, but man, you're just running to the feminine shitstorm, running into the shitstorm in the group, your courage, your tenacity. And I'm so glad. It just brought joy to my heart when I heard you say the level of feedback, your queen. She created a beautiful day recently where, you know, you just went off on a hike. She just like loved you up and adoring words and expressions of how far you've come. You had to go to fucking hell and you repeatedly go back to hell to carve that experience out and that feedback out, man. You're just deserving of the highest honoring. Thank you for sharing your soul and your spiritual medicine to us today, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Mark. I deeply love you. And I'm deeply grateful for everything that you've poured into me and my brothers and your beautiful women and this earth, man. It's absolutely beautiful.
Receiving now with an open heart. Thank you, man. And I can't wait to fucking see you live on Thursday. Dojo shit yeah. Again, man.
Let's do it. Come on.
Kingly brothers, heroic husbands. You've heard it from the man himself, from Ty, Sav, Andrew. There's multiple other men coming through in this movement. There's a wave of badass men that have signed up. I've never had such an influx of application calls already. Kudos to those men that have had that 10 seconds of insane kingly courage to just make that happen. Don't get left behind, guys. And really sincerely, from full ferocious love and acceptance, as Ty was saying, like the full honoring of your 10 out of 10, I know you're a 10 out of 10. You've always been there. Ty, Sav, Andrew, all the men, we know it. But we can't support you and the universe can't support you, as Ty said, without the training, without that support. The world can't support you if you continue on lone wolfing. Lone wolfing is not a badge of honor. It's not doing it the fucking strong, courageous way. No great man has ever reached his greatness, his potential in any endeavor by lone wolfing. That's fucking it, period. Ty is putting the gauntlet down there before you. You can trust him, man. That's such an open-hearted, soulful expression of his vulnerabilities, his inadequacies, and yet you can observe and witness vicariously like the beauty, the bliss, the power, the strength, the audacious spiritual nature that's coming through and becoming the true spiritual teacher that he is for himself, his queen, his kids, and hey, standing out into the world. If that doesn't inspire you, honestly, I don't know what fucking will. You have, at this timing, you have a few days left. I think it's November 3rd. There's application calls live until this Friday. You can book them. There's calls up until Friday week. That's it. That's going to be it for 3 or 4 months. Get yourself into the hat, guys. Knock over that first domino and who fucking knows? You could be in Ty Humphrey's seat in another 4 or 5 months' time. That's part of this movement. This movement, the leadership creates leaders in perfect alignment with the mantra for movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day. Heads up, kings! Don't miss the only opportunity left to join Heroic Husbands Men's Circles in 2023. Go from feeling that your best will never be good enough to becoming the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. Applications for the last intake of new members in 2023 are open until November 3rd. Apply to join by clicking the link in the podcast episode description. There are limited spaces available, so don't miss out by applying to join now.